Hello, true believers, and welcome to Dexcelsior Hot Takes, our little mini episodes. Well, this one's not going to be so mini, where we discuss newly announced products. I'm John, and I'm joined by a crew that was only myself and two people, but I cut off two heads and two more took their place, so now there's five. There's Sam. There's Matt.
Wow.
And there's Ben.
Oh my god, I cannot do that.
Oh, cut off another head. There's gonna be two more taking Ben's place. Now we're gonna have six people on the podcast. Oh my gosh.
Oh god.
Oh, and me, yeah. Welcome, guys. So Carlos, unfortunately, Carlos couldn't join us tonight. He got sniped by Hawkeye's sonic arrow, and his ears are still recovering. So Carlos, we'll miss you. We'll catch you next time. All right, guys. Well, tonight we're going to be giving our thoughts on the live stream and on the article. We're going to go over the cards that were announced. We're going to talk about the villains and the heroes, and we're going to talk about the campaign mode that they discussed. And it's going to be just a fun night all around. So let's kick it off with some Marvel musings with Matt, the part of the show where Matt gives us some Marvel trivia. What do you got for us, Matt?
Well, this one, because it's a bit of a spoiler now, but Absorbing Man was revealed to be part of the box. And this is some Absorbing Man trivia. In the 1999 miniseries Earth X, based on Alex Ross's arts and notes, he became the biggest Marvel villain in that universe, where he absorbed Ultron and basically became a one-man army who killed the Avengers.
Oh, wow.
Whoa.
Because he can absorb pretty much anything, not just physical objects, even concepts. Vision gives him a virus. They shatter him into pieces and becomes a big part of the sequel where they reassemble him and he absorbs Manhattan, as in New York.
Oh my gosh. You gotta give it to Marvel. When they go big, they go big.
Yeah.
Didn't nearly go nearly as big in the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. show, because he wasn't that for a while.
Yeah, he was.
And he's Thor's he's like a Thor nemesis, right? He and Thor duke it out.
Okay. Yeah, one of his biggest things is he can absorb the material the hammer's made of.
Oh. Oh, really? So he can absorb, like, you get Mjolnir essence.
Wow. Uru.
Ooh.
Essence of Mjolnir.
Now, he was in the Immortal Hulk, too, wasn't he? Wasn't he in the Immortal Hulk?
Yes, he is. He is part of the...
He was, like, in the first storyline.
Part of Gamma Flight.
Yes.
Yeah. Nice. The second storyline.
Second storyline. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. He's married to, I can't remember her name now, the She-Hulk nemesis.
Yeah, Thundra. Titania.
Titania, yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, Titania, yeah.
Yeah, he's married to Titania.
Nice. Awesome. Well, thanks for that, Matt. Let's jump into it, guys, because we got a lot to cover tonight. There is a lot announced at this live stream. So what were your guys' just general thoughts on everything that we saw? Ben, let's have you kick it off. You haven't talked as much.
Oh, my gosh. This is, like, the most exciting product for this game so far. Both heroes look fantastic. All the villains look like they do cool, unique things. And I think the campaign mode looks pretty well implemented. So I'm very excited.
It's so cool. And people in here, if you that are listening, please post in, like, the live episode channel chat, because we are recording this one live, and tell us your thoughts on all this, because there's a lot of stuff to cover. Matt, what about you? What are some of your just overarching thoughts? Oh my gosh.
I can only laugh so much.
I'm very excited for this. Both of the heroes look very fascinating. I didn't think they'd go Spider-Woman this early, but then again, I didn't think they'd go Wrecking Crew style that early either. And then Hawkeye, that bow looks so fun.
Yes.
Oh boy.
Just keep firing off those arrows.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome. Sam, what about you?
Going building off of what Matt said, let alone, I don't think they'd do two aspects this early. This is only
right?
This is pretty much the first year.
First year? It's crazy. We'll talk about her when we get to her, but those heroes, they look so good and so much fun. Mm-hmm. And the villain lineup. And I love what they're doing with the campaign, from what it sounds like.
I am a bit disappointed there's no protection cards.
Yeah.
There is? You just can't put him in any deck except Spider-Man. Not enough room in the box.
I don't know, like an ally.
Well, think about it this way. That probably means in the next box, we'll get a protection hero.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. It's going to be so great. Y'all have said it, but they're breaking so many like boundaries with this box. They're just going so out of the box with how the game design is. I love it because it's like you get the core box and you're like, okay, this is how the rules work. Here's some heroes, especially Spider-Woman, that break the rules. and don't play by the rules of the game. Oh, it's so great. Yeah, and all the chats like saying it to Apo, Ron, Mr. J77. Oh, yeah, everyone's super happy with this. And that's great too, that the community is just, everybody is just so excited about this. I don't think I've heard one negative person about this product after today's stream. Everybody is just can't wait for it.
It helps we're all starved.
It's really funny cuz
yeah.
Yeah, it's really funny because everyone before the box art got leaked, everyone was bitching about the fact that it was gonna be Spider Woman and Hawkeye. And you see the stream today, and everyone's like, "Oh my God, Spider Woman! She's gonna be so good!"
Yes,
yeah.
They made me. They took a character that I had no idea who she was, and now I'm so excited to play her and build a deck with her. Half the fun of Spider Woman is just gonna be deck building, not even as necessarily playing as much as just deck building and theory crafting with her. With what you can do with, I'm waiting for somebody to break it. I'm waiting for somebody to break her eventually with being able to pair two aspects together.
Believe me, I'm gonna try.
I love it. Well, do we want to just get into it, guys? Run down the heroes first.
Yeah.
Let's start with Hawkeye. Why don't we get who wants to read first? Sam, why don't you read Clint, his alter ego?
All right, Clint Barton is a unique alter ego with 3 recover, shield traded, a hand size of 6, and only 9 hit points.
Mm-hmm.
With a weapon of choice, action. Spend 1 resource of any type to search your deck and discard pile for Hawkeye's bow and add it to your hand. Shuffle your deck. This is very similar to Thor, that you can get your hammer except you pay a resource of it, but Hawkeye's bow costs 0, so it's effectively like you're paying 1 for the bow.
Yeah.
You're replacing it in your hand.
Mm-hmm.
You don't necessarily get screwed if it's in your opening hand. Like, well, I guess Thor doesn't really either, but Captain America, a few mulligans, then draws a shield. He's like, oh, well, that's fun.
There goes half my ability.
I guess it's not really a big deal.
Yeah, Hawkeye, it doesn't matter at all.
It's just nice consistency. I mean, yeah.
Somebody pointed out in the chat, and I think it was in the live stream chat today. It was like, it's kind of funny. He has to go like buy a new bow if he loses it.
Well, he has a car in the art because he's driving to the bow store.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah, that's it. That's what it is.
The bow store. More arrows and bows.
No, just something about the picture makes me think like a guy like in a parking lot trying to buy drugs. It's like, hey, want to buy some bows?
If you want some candy.
Oh gosh, no.
Matt, why don't you read his hero version?
Sure thing. Hawkeye, he's a hero, unique. He has 1 thwart, 2 attack, 1 defense, probably one of the weakest stat lines we've seen so far. He has the Avenger trait. He has 5 hand size and 9 hit points. And then he has the quick draw ability, action, exhaust Hawkeye to ready Hawkeye's bow. And a flavor text. I may not be the coolest, mightiest Avenger, but I'm definitely the coolest. And it's definitely true because in his art, he's jumping away from explosion with an arrow knocked.
He's not looking at it.
And he's not. Yeah, that's exactly right. And he's not looking at that explosion.
It just looks like someone, to me, it looks like someone started painting Hawkeye and just was like, you know what? Screw it. I'm done.
He doesn't need a lower half. I'll draw a little stub. It'll look like his legs are pointed away.
I don't want a background.
He lost in the explosion.
That's right, yeah.
It's like Duke Nukem.
Oh,
he's pretty fragile.
Appo says he looks like Duke Nukem. Yeah.
Like, with 9 hit points and only 3 recover, he's going to be... I think he likes downtime a lot.
Yeah.
He's also, like, really squishy. Like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, he's a guy with a bow. That's it.
1 defense and 9 hit points. And the only 3 recovery.
Oh, Carlos is here as a spectator.
Hey, what's up, Carlos?
Oh, hey, it's Carlos.
He's spectating.
Been promoted to listener.
It's so something. Do you think this is like a theme they're going for? Like all the people that like the heroes that we've gotten so far, I think that are just like human, like nothing really super special about them, have lower hit points.
Yeah, that seems fair.
Yeah,
I mean, I think it makes sense. I'm just curious.
Yeah, like
now I kind of think that means that higher hit points are going to be more rare. I'm thinking something like 12 is going to be a rare kind of hit point. You're probably going to see around 10 or 11 on average.
Yeah, 11's the super strong people like Black Panther, Captain America.
Mm-hmm.
You have Captain Marvel gets 12.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With 18.
Yeah.
Really like that with the bow, because the bow is free. I mean, it's a card in your hand, but it's pretty much free. It's a 3-attack hero with 5 hands.
Let's get to the bow.
Let's get to the bow. Ben,
why don't you read that, Sam?
Oh, yeah, Sam. That works.
No.
Just right. Okay. I'll read it.
I mean, talk about it.
Hawkeye's bow is a 0-cost upgrade. The weapon traded, a wild resource, restricted. So you can only have 2 restricted cards. And your hero gets +1 attack, and each arrow attack gains range. Now, ranged is a new keyword. There's going to be 5 keywords introduced in this wave, they said. Ranged basically means it ignores retaliate. So if you're fighting Pile Driver and you have a ranged attack, retaliate doesn't trigger.
That is so good, especially on his low hit points. Oh, that is great.
Yeah.
If you're fighting MODOK, you're just like, hey.
Yeah, no, you laugh. Yeah, you laugh at MODOK. Now it's not something to remember. It's not your normal attacks getting range. It's only your arrow attack. So if you exhaust him to attack, it still takes retaliate. Right.
Yes. If you exhaust him, you're just hitting him with the bow.
That's exactly just right.
Punching him
in the eyes.
I also think it's really funny. Hawkeye's like the inverse of Iron Man in that he exhausts already his unique attachment instead of his unique attachment exhausting already him. That's really funny.
Ooh, some of them are pointing out in chat, what if we start getting villains with ranged?
It's a possibility.
Yeah, definitely. That's fairly likely, I would say. Yeah, that'll
like Bullseye. If you ever get a Bullseye hero, he has to have ranged.
Well, honestly, I think it'd be worse if a minion had ranged, because a lot of times you're just like, hey, minions get retaliated.
Yeah.
But there's like a low health minion with range, so like really screw up Captain America and Black Panther.
To make a house rule, basically all the Ultron drones gain ranged.
Nah. Oh, get rid of that would make Ultron so much harder.
Yeah.
With those characters.
Yes. Well, let's go on to his quiver. Ben, why don't you read the quiver?
Okay, I'll read his quiver. Hawkeye's quiver is a 1-cost upgrade. It's item trade. You may play arrow events attached to this card as if they were in your hand. It has hero action. Exhaust Hawkeye's quiver to search the top 5 cards of your deck for an arrow event and attach it face up to this card. And it's got mental resource, but you're never discarding
it.
Realistically.
No.
It's so good.
If you're not playing this card, you're doing it wrong. This card is going to be amazing. There's no limit to how many arrows can be on there.
Yeah, you can have all the arrows on there.
You can have as many arrows, and you can just... I think it would be cool. It wouldn't be great mechanically, but it'd be cool if it was like, if you have no arrows, discard this.
They would just get discarded instantly, though.
Something like it enters play, search your deck for an arrow, and put it here. And that's his obligation. Empty quiver.
Yeah, it's increasing your hand size. It's great. Yeah, Sam.
Kind of.
So you search the top 5 cards of your deck for an arrow
and
put it on the... What happens to the rest of the cards you search?
I assume you shuffle and they just forgot to add that. That would be broken.
Does search imply shuffle in this game? I forget.
It may. I'm not sure,
but it probably would be. Because like, I can't see... Yeah. If it lets you also know what's coming up, that's pretty powerful as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
or it could also discard them and get the rest. Through your deck pretty quickly. Your arrows.
I feel like it would say that. Yeah.
Probably
that'd be really bad.
Yeah, I'm almost guaranteed you're gonna have to shuffle afterwards. They're not just gonna let you know what the top 5 cards of your deck are.
Yeah.
But that's cool because it makes all your arrows essentially cost 1 less.
Oh yeah,
because it's 1 less card leaving your hand when you're playing them.
Mm-hmm.
So they actually cost the amount that they say.
Yeah, and the arrows are pretty cheap anyway. Also, you can store arrows. Like, if you don't need this particular arrow right now, you can save it up for later.
Oh, yeah.
Especially for using when it's super effective. Don't have it, because, like, a turn where you're not exhausting the bow feels like a wasted turn, in my opinion.
I mean, exhausting to do 3 damage is pretty decent.
Well, no,
also.
But the bow itself, it doesn't do anything.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah, if you're not... Okay, I see what you're saying.
So that way you can fire an arrow at least once
each turn.
That's
why you gotta play Mighty Swing with your bow.
Okay, Apo brings up... Apo brings up a good rule. He brought up the search term. So, search, you don't shuffle unless you search your entire deck.
It doesn't say that. It says if you search your entire deck, you shuffle the deck.
Oh, I
see. The player finds cards.
What cards have?
Yeah. No, it's on completion of any ability that searches an entire deck, shuffle that deck.
Yeah, that doesn't necessarily mean the negative.
Yeah, so it doesn't say one way or the other.
Yeah. Mr. JJ77 has a question. In drawing into these arrows, I can't see them ever being bad because you can play them as if you're in your hand. It's basically as if you're drawing them, except you don't have to discard at the end of round.
It's
the only.
Yeah.
Well, drawing... maybe some of them are. My guess, though, is that some of them are probably more situational and right. You're going to want them on the quiver.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then again, based off what we've seen so far with two of them, two of the arrows we've seen, I would be happy playing them almost any turn anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and there are 9 arrows, correct? Is that what they said on the stream? 9 arrows?
I think.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Logically, there's at least 8 and under 10, maybe, I'd say.
Yep.
There's the bow, there's the quiver, probably an ally, and maybe some resource generators.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of arrows, why don't I get to our next one? The Sonic Arrow is a 2-cost event with the arrow and attack trait. It has a hero action attack, exhaust Hawkeye's bow to confuse an enemy and deal 3 damage to it. 5 damage instead if it is already confused. It has a mental resource and the best flavored text of any card that will ever be in the game.
It's the Hawkeye mating call.
It's Hawkeye mating call.
Wow.
Oh my gosh. The chat was hilarious to watch in the live stream. The E trait? Yeah. The chat in the live stream was so funny when they spoiled this card. It was just a series of E's everywhere. Oh my gosh, it was hilarious. But I feel like the rule for this game is you have to say that every time you play a Sonic Arrow.
Yeah, I'm never gonna even call it by the name of the card. Hey, I'm gonna start the top 5 cards with my quiver and just be like, all right, I'm gonna get the E arrow.
Yeah, I got the E arrow, guys.
This is
throw it at the villain. E.
I think being able to combo these with the quiver will be great because, like, okay, I was confused and do 3, now we'll do 5 more.
Yes, or you can shoot stagger it.
Yeah, or you can say,
To the confuse, because the confuse is probably the better than 2 damage, I'd say.
Usually, yeah.
Yep.
I messaged Chad from Cardboard of the Rings right before. Everyone who knows his favorite hero is Haldir in Lord of the Rings. So I was like, what do you think of Haldir? I mean, Hawkeye. And he goes, yeah, he looks awesome. And then sent me E.
Nice. Right. But what about, okay, so besides the flavor text, the effect of this arrow. It's great.
Fantastic.
Confuse is such a rare thing in this game. It's just great whenever you can get it.
It's concussive blow for 1 less, and you don't have to spend a particular resource.
Yep.
And it also does extra damage if the target's already confused.
Yeah.
You do exhaust your bow.
Yeah, you do. So solid. That's only a drawback if you're playing multiple arrows in 1 turn.
But then you can exhaust Hawkeye to ready your bow.
Exactly.
Awesome. This card's amazing.
It's very good.
Mm-hmm. I can't wait to see the other arrows. Speaking of the other arrows, who are we back up to? Matt, why don't you read Explosive Arrow?
Sure thing. Explosive Arrow is a 1-cost event with the arrow trait. Hero action, exhaust Hawkeye's bow and choose a player. Deal 3 damage to the villain each minion engaged with that player. It has a physical resource.
Something important that I just noticed about this card, this is not an attack.
Yep.
Yeah.
It gets around guard.
Yep.
Most of the AoE effects are not attacks. It also gets around stun.
This is very similar to the energy daggers.
Yeah. It does one more damage than an energy daggers that's picked last. But
be solid in mutagen.
Oh my gosh, it's so good in mutagen.
Turn,
oh yeah,
get someone's ally minion off of them.
It's also good in like Ultron Expert.
Oh like, yeah, when you've all got
like
those
two health drones.
Oh yeah, that takes
just
the most
kill
of
all the two health drones.
Yeah, he could be in stage three and have that you know environment out where all they get plus one health and attack, and you'd still kill them all with the explosive arrow.
Yep.
I mean, it's kind of thematic. Look at the art of the card. He's just exploding an Ultron drone.
Yep. It's telling you what to do with it.
Put this under the quiver, too, and save it until you need it. And considering most of the time, if this was played from your hand, it'd be really two cards. With this for one card with the quiver is amazing.
That is a steal right
there. Also,
if he has resource generation... Or you have resource generation on the table, like a helicarrier or something. Mm-hmm. This for zero, if it's on the quiver.
Like, yeah.
Free damage.
It's also really good. Playing it from your hand is, like, fine, even if there are no minions in play. It's like, okay, I paid two cards, did three damage. That's good.
Yeah.
So, it's not as situational as a lot of these area effects are. But it's
only
really good when the AoE effect is good.
Mm-hmm.
You mean the AoE?
Oh, man. And what... so he comes with a leadership aspect, and we'll get to the aspect cards later on, but that is something we should point out, is that they said he comes with the... he comes with leadership. So that's a really good thing. So there's not just Hawkeye, though. This box comes with two heroes. Ooh, and this next hero... Matt, why don't you read the alter ego?
I'm excited.
All right, we got Jessica Drew, who is an alter ego with 3 recovery, 11 hit points, and 6 hand size. She is a shield and spy traded, and she has the double agent ability. You choose 2 aspects instead of 1 during deck building. You must include an equal number of cards from those aspects in your deck. And she has an action, look at the top card of any deck, limit once per round.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
My mind exploded when I saw this.
Oh, my God. It's happening. It's here. Two aspects and spy traded.
Oh, it's so...
Spy's surprisingly a good treat.
Yeah.
Surprisingly.
Oh, it's just so good. Oh, my gosh. The combos that you can pick, like put with this just blow my mind. The amount of combos now that I have, but I will say what aspects came to y'all's minds? I'll just ask first off when you saw this to pair together.
Play enraged plus teamwork and just in the same deck, just get them. That
sounds
really good.
I was thinking interrogation room with aggression.
Yo,
and it's like, oh, thinking, aggression and justice just because it's red and yellow color.
Mm-hmm.
I think. Stunning blow and no concussive blow and what's the stun card? Tackle.
Oh.
In solo, you can just lock down
man.
And prevent them
from
doing anything ever.
And pheromones too.
Yeah.
I was thinking personally, aggression and protection. Now in the Doctor Strange pack, we saw some protection cards like Desperate Defense and Momentum Shift. Which it's damage and healing at the same time, and then you have aggression for damage, protection for healing, and you can kind of just stay there. And they both have pretty cheap-ish cards. Aggression is a little more expensive, but I'm sure one of the cards in here is only 1 cost, and that's not a bad card.
Mm-hmm.
That
combo sounds
fantastic.
So good.
Yeah.
You think
my first one that came to mind was protection and leadership, just so I could have all the healing and all the allies. So I just have a consistent board of allies that never go away because I'm always healing them up.
Med team plus vision.
Med team, vision, med teams, and anybody. 3 med teams and 3 allies. Like, and good luck, villain.
Triskelion.
They will never go away. Triskelion,
Triskelion, 4 allies.
Gosh.
And med teams, and just be like, boom.
We're getting some good ones in the chat here real quick. Appo's saying Med Team plus Tigra plus Enraged. That's really good. Mr. J77 says Aggression and Leadership, Enraged Iron Man Ally. So, yeah.
Oh my god, I just thought of one.
What's that?
All right. Hear me out here. Hulk deck, right?
Of course you do.
Two aspects. You get double the physical icons. Right?
That's not bad. No, that's good.
That's not the worst.
So it's important to note that basic doesn't count as an aspect. So you can have any number of basic cards in your deck, but your aspect cards have to be equal.
Mm-hmm.
Are you telling me it's not a sphere?
It's not an aspect.
Oh man. Well, okay. We've oogled over Jessica Drew for a long time. Let's go to Spider Woman. Who hasn't read? Sam, why don't you read Spider Woman?
Boy, favorite hero. All right, Spider Woman is a Avenger spy with a hand size of 5/11 hit points, with one thwart, one attack, and one defense.
Oh, she sucks.
With
unplayable.
Yeah, unplayable.
Oh yeah, clearly. I mean, what is she? Coaster, 73 of them. I'll buy 73 boxes. With an interrupt. When you play an aspect card, Spider-Woman gets +1 thwart, +1 attack, and +1 defense until the end of the round. Limit once per round for each aspect. This includes in the villain phase, too, if you play event.
Yeah.
But the thing, if you can consistently play 2 aspect cards a turn, and she's a 3-3-3, that's the best stats on any hero in the game. And it can be consistent.
You could
with some resource.
You could get her to 4 in all those stats.
Yeah, and if you play let's say aggression and justice, you can have the combat training and heroic intuition on her.
Oh my gosh.
And get this. Get her like 40 each, or then maybe potentially 5. I'm honestly thinking that Tenacity won't be a bad card to include in her deck if she doesn't have readying in her kit. If she has readying in her kit, that's different. But if she doesn't, I would consider putting Tenacity in for extra use of those giant stats. Those are
some of the other cards that let you, ready after attacking or something, like, I don't know, there's some aggression cards that let you, ready or something. There's some aspect cards that let you ready.
Also Indomitable.
Battle Fury, Indomitable.
Yeah.
Battle Fury, yeah.
Desperate Defense.
Yep. That's, and then the
obviously one Tenacity.
Doctor Strange, I forget what that is. I don't know.
It's Desperate Defense, I think.
Oh, I know. Desperate Defense. Oh, so good. She's incredible.
So, I mean, even Aggression and Protection. Like, so I saw this in the chat, or in one of the chats earlier, about Counterpunch with her. Which, by the way, is amazing. If you have 3 attack... and 3 defense, that's an amazing combo anyway.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But if you haven't played a protection card yet, let's say you played one of her cards and then an aggression card in this scenario, and then you play Counterpunch, you don't get the defense, but you do get an extra attack. So then you hit back for 4/0. That's amazing.
Gosh, it's so good. It's so good.
Best hero. Calling it now.
She's just incredible. Especially in solo, I think, where you can get the benefits of 2 aspects, where it's really hurting you that you can only have 1 aspect. In solo, I think she's just going to be a force to be reckoned with for best hero choice.
You can include the best solo aspects, like justice or leadership, with one of the weaker solo aspects and just have a great time, because now you can play it and still be consistently good in solo.
Well, let's look at some of her cards. So the interesting thing about Spider-Woman's cards is that they are not just signature cards, but they are also aspect cards that can only go in her deck. So, for example, I'll read off her next one. This is Pheromones. It is a 2-cost event. It's a superpower, and it says hero action, stun and confuse an enemy. And if you look at the card art, it's blue. Oh, and it has a physical icon resource. But if you look at the card, it's blue like a leadership card. But then at the bottom of the text, it says, this card is both a Spider-Woman card and a leadership card. So that's just a brilliant design thing to me. That, because now you've got even more. And you've got you and the design. And Michael said on the stream that each of her signature cards is like this. And she's got signature cards for every aspect.
I don't think he said each of them was like
that. No, he said that there's I think he said there was two per aspect.
Oh, yeah, two per aspect. Okay.
So,
like,
so there's two
each aspect. So that's eight. So she gives you eight extra aspect cards.
Yeah, Appa's confirming in your chat. Deck. Yeah, two for each. Yeah. Okay. Oh, that's still great. That's still amazing.
Yeah, and you can use the power ofs on these. You can use power of leadership on this, or power of protection, justice, and aggression on the other ones. Granted, we only know two of them, so we don't know what the costs are for the other two. But the aggression and leadership one costs two, so the power of gets even better in that scenario.
Yes. Oh, so good. It's just crazy.
Stun and confuse.
Yeah, and that's stun amazing. And confuse.
So good.
You just lock you just down the villain. You turn the
villain. Mm-hmm. Like, you can now flip and then flip back, and he still hasn't done anything to you yet.
Yeah, wild. That's really good.
It's incredible. Oh my gosh, this hero is amazing. Ben, why don't you read the next one that we've got down there?
Okay, so this is actually in the card fan. Some of it's cut off, but you see most of it. It's Venom Blast. It's an attack, superpower trade. We can't see the resource icon, but it's a red card, so we can assume it's an aggression. Also, it's an aggression. It's a Spiral Woman and an aggression card. And it's I'm assuming hero action attack, deal 5 damage to probably an enemy, but maybe a minion.
Yeah, I'd say an enemy.
Yeah,
it's an enemy. Probably not. Gotta be.
Maybe, and, yeah.
Yeah, it's also an event, definitely.
If it was a minion, it would be weaker than what is that one? The overkill one.
Relentless assault.
Which sucks to me personally. It has to be an enemy for that.
I mean, you can say the same thing with a Captain Miss Marvel's what is it called? Shrink.
Big hands.
No, shrink.
Shrink.
Yes. Shrink is worse than Four Justice.
Yes, but Four Justice is already really good.
Yeah.
Right, but you also have to figure out in her set, she has ways to boost it. And Four Justice only gets 4 if you pay the kicker.
I know, so
without the kicker, they're the same.
Relentless Assault only gets the overkill if you pay the kicker.
But I'm pretty sure it's an enemy.
I mean, let's compare this to Super Sonic Punch and Iron Man. Yeah. He pays 2 to get 4 or sometimes 8. 5 does not seem...
I think it's most likely it says enemy. Let's not argue about that.
Controversial.
It could be minion, but it's probably not.
Yeah. And they said that she comes with the justice and aggression aspects in her pre-built deck, right?
Yes.
Look at her card.
I mean, look at her card art. You can tell that, yeah. Yeah, her card colors are matching that. That's kind of perfect.
That's funny.
They also spoiled some aspect cards, so let's go on to those. Let's see, whose turn is it to read? Who hasn't read in a little bit? Matt, you want to take it?
Sure thing. This one is a leadership support called Team Training with a 2 cost. It's a condition traded with a physical icon. Play under any player's control, max 1 per player. Those are usually pretty good. Mm-hmm. It does. Each ally you control gets +1 hit point.
Oh, man.
Oh, boy.
Leadership decks just got another auto include.
Oh, boy, this card.
So it's for every ally forever for the rest of the game. Use them.
It's not we're looking at it. Some leadership decks want to, like, cycle their allies with blitz that comes into playabilities and stuff.
That's fair.
If you're going Triskelion or that sort of thing, like, just big board of allies.
Big board of really powerful allies, yeah.
Yeah, or Avengers.
Oh, yeah.
This would
Avengers Assemble,
right? Which is funny because isn't the flavor text on this?
It is. Card it's pretty good.
Yeah, we mostly just wait for Cap to yell Avengers Assemble and attack in the same direction.
Yeah, that sounds also, about right.
First one a T-pose. And you can put it under any player's control, so you can have someone playing, let's say, aggression. An aggression Avengers deck, because that could technically be a thing. They have a bunch of Avengers allies. You can give this to them.
Mm-hmm.
Spider-Woman.
And now all their allies have an extra hit point.
Mm-hmm.
Spider-Woman can run ally... aggression and leadership Avengers deck.
She could?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh! Oh, that's so amazing. I just realized that.
the Iron Man ally with Spider-Woman is who I'm going to consider at the moment.
Oh, man, yeah.
That image. I'm sorry. Leadership.
Yeah, I saw it.
With Spider-Woman, let's say we pick aggression and leadership, like we said. Iron Man ally from Doctor Strange is a 4-cost ally, but every upgrade you put on him costs 1 less.
Yeah.
So you can play him in this deck and have Enraged, Inspired, and have this card out, maybe Teamwork, like, so he's not taking as much consequential or something. That seems so good.
Build a mecha ally. I have a million hit points.
With Enraged, any ally who has an even number of hit points just got better with Enraged with this card.
Yep. Sure did.
Because they get one more use.
Disagree.
Well, they get one more use out of it.
Anyway.
And my Hulk ally is going to get even more uses.
He's just going to discard himself more likely.
It has a physical icon.
Oh, it does. Yeah.
Yep. Right. There you go. Next up. Continue.
I just meant like he'll get more actions because he has one more hit point.
No, yep.
Until you hit the one mental in your deck and discard him.
Sam, why don't you read
like I always do
the other leadership card that they spoiled, Sam. Why don't you read that one?
Okay.
Yeah, Hawkeye. You know, Hawkeye.
Okay, Hawkeye's a 3-cost ally, 1 support and 1 attack.
Get this guy out of here.
No, wrong Hawkeye.
No, let's talk about the real Hawkeye.
As a hero with 1 4.
hey, no, the real Hawkeye.
Which Hawkeye are we talking? Hawkeye is the 2-cost ally.
The one who led the Young Avengers.
Hawkeye is a 2-cost ally with the Kate Bishop font in there. I don't know what that's
called.
Subtitle. Which means she can be in play at the same time as Clint Barton.
Mm-hmm.
That's a thing. She has 1 thwart with consequential, 2 attack with a consequential, 2 hit points, Avengers, physical icon, and action. Exhaust this ally and discard 1 card from your hand. Deal X damage to an enemy where X is the number of resources on that card.
Printed resources.
Captain Marvel likes this?
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
And one with a lot of double resource at least works reasonably well.
Well, I think it's also good because, you know, you have those turns sometimes where you have a card in your hand that, you know, you've played your hand out and you've got this 1 card left over. So, heck, you know, just throw it to Hawkeye. She'll do damage for you for free. You know?
Right.
I'm mad against Ultron.
Oh, yeah.
You know, get
thrown out. Pretty decent.
Stay for the consequences.
Also, a 2-cost Avenger ally, it doesn't matter what they say, it's already going to be pretty good.
And with 2 attack.
Yeah.
Especially with that teamwork card that one we just read, I forget what it's called already.
Team training.
That and Avengers Assemble with this lets you get 1 extra use out of your ally. And I want to bring this up because I think Kennedy Hawk brought this up in our Hulk channel, where basically Hulk, you discard the rest of the cards in your hand at the end of your turn. Mm-hmm. Well, if you're playing leadership with Hulk. And this has a physical icon, too, so it's not bad in a Leadership Hulk deck.
It is not.
Those extra cards, you can discard to her to deal an extra damage or something. And if you play something like Movable or Unstoppable Force, where you ready Hulk, and then if you drew a card and drew Limitless Strength and have nothing to play it on, discard it for 3 damage.
Yeah.
There you go.
She's going to be pretty decent in the Hulk deck if you want to build a Leadership Hulk deck out there.
Yes, you like Hulk deck. We know.
Hulk ally, and I'm gonna like Hulk hero.
She's not super exciting, but she's very good because she's 2-cost ally.
She's very solid.
She's a solid 2-cost Avenger ally. There's not much else you could ask for.
Mm-hmm.
She's chump change if you need it.
Yeah, that's true. She's cheap, and she gets the job done. Matt, or Ben, whichever one you hasn't read in the longest time, why don't y'all read Clear the Area? Ben, go for it.
Okay, I'll read it. Clear the Area. Oh my gosh. I'm trying to... Okay, I found it. It's another card fan thing. Okay. So it's a 1-cost justice event. Clear the Area. It's got the thwart trait, and I'm assuming it says hero action thwart. Remove 2 threat from a scheme?
Mm-hmm.
Probably. If this removes the last threat from that scheme, draw one card. I'm making assumptions. But,
yes, there's
because Parvus got that, but that's probably what it says.
Yeah.
And this card looks amazing. Oh my gosh.
It's going to be good in solo.
Yes, it's going to be great in solo. Also, just like two threat for two cards essentially is already solid. Even if it didn't have that draw card rider, it'd still be a decent card.
And like in two player, whatever, you can get side schemes up like four threats. You can like okay thwart, and then you clear the area, and now it's clear. And you just spent one card for two thwart. That's really good.
Yeah, and you got to cycle through your deck a little bit faster.
Also, it's gonna be part of her starter deck, her pre-constructed deck.
Yep,
that's 2-1 cost cards we've seen, both gonna be a playset of. So that's 6 in total.
Mm-hmm.
Of just one cost cards, which is awesome. And you can, with her 5 hand size, you could play a 1 cost card and then a 2 cost card and then swing in for 3 or thwart for 3 or something, which is so cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big fan.
Yes. Big fan. Matt, why don't you read the next one?
Sure thing. We got Press the Advantage. So 1 cost aggression event with the attack trait. Hero action attack. Deal 2 damage to enemy. If that enemy is stunned or confused, draw 1 card. And it has a mental resource.
Great mushy in her face. Deck.
Yeah, that face on the side.
What'd you say, Sam?
I'm pretty sure this is from War of the Realms.
Get the art, it's smushy face.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Oh wow.
But, I mean, this paired with pheromones is fantastic. This paired with someone, let's say aggression cap
Sonic Arrow,
not a bad thing. Oh, yeah. So, I mean, I knew
that was coming.
Spider Woman Ally.
I'm trying to think of the card webbed up with Spider Man. Yeah, Spider Woman Ally.
If you web up the villain, it doesn't trigger if you just have webbed up on them. So they have to attack and then get stunned, and then you can use it. So it only really works with webbed up and solo.
Mockingbird,
yeah. Bad. I mean, it's a little annoying. I mean, it's a fine card. It's just a lot of times you don't want to attack stunned or confused enemies.
Usually. Well, if it's a villain, I usually try to stun or confuse the villain, and then...
I'm not a huge fan of putting in events that do 2 damage to the villain in my...
But it's a 0 cost.
It's just
a 1 cost event for 2 damage.
Not even
now
that.
You can do this to minions.
Yeah, you can throw it.
But I think that is good on its own. That bonus is good.
Mm-hmm.
If we see more mass stun or mass confuse, it's going to be fantastic.
If you're picking a second aspect for Spider-Woman, you could choose Justice or Protection, which both have the event that either stun or confuses them, depending on the aspect.
That's decent.
This is not a bad... You could play that. And if you have a Helicarrier or some resource generation, you can play this too, and then swing in or thwart for 3, which is... not bad.
That's fair. Spider-Woman does like cheap events. Also, Miss Marvel likes cheap events too, so it'll be good in both their decks. Yeah, I think.
This one cost for 4 damage in Miss Marvel with Embiggen.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Very good. Very, very good, Ben. I would definitely look to play it in an aggression Miss Marvel deck.
I will say about the art, I'm pretty sure this is from the past year or so, because that's definitely Black Panther from the Aaron Avengers run with probably War of the Realms, because he's got the nanotech on his suit.
Cool.
And those, I'm pretty sure those are from Trolls.
Well, that's all the heroes, and oh my gosh, are we just so excited for these. Like, both of these heroes are just amazing, but that's not all that comes in this pack, because we have 5 different scenarios with 5 different villains. That's right. This is almost doubling the number of scenarios we're going to have to play with. Oh, this is going to be great. So let's dive into them here. The villains, they said, are going to be Crossbones, Absorbing Man, Zola, Taskmaster, and Red Skull. And it is, of course, all Hydra-themed. So the cool thing about these villains, they said, is that you can play them in a regular mode like you play any other villains, you know, just a standard mode where you play them as individual encounters. Or you can link them together in a campaign mode where you have there's going to be an illustrated comic book story that goes with this, with the whole thing. You're going to have upgrade cards that you earn between each scenario. The villains are also going to get upgrade cards depending on how you do in their scenarios. There's different rules for it. It's going to be Marvel Champions like we've never seen it before, with like really interconnected story that goes throughout these five different scenarios that are leading up to all the that are the, and the penultimate villain in this box is, of course, Red Skull himself.
You mean the ultimate? That's the penultimate is Arnim Zola.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah. Ultimate. The ultimate. Sorry, I got excited. The ultimate is Red Skull. Penultimate is Zola.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the campaign mode after we go through these villains, because there's some cool stuff to discuss.
Yes. So let's hit the villains. So I think first is Crossbones. At least he's the first they mentioned in the live stream when they when he ordered him. So Crossbones, I'll read him. He's a villain, of course. We only have seen the stage one of him. He's got one scheme and one attack with the Star. He's Hydra and mercenary traded, and the Star says, while Crossbones has a weapon attachment, his attacks gain piercing, which is a new keyword. And the keyword means discard any tough status cards from the target before dealing damage. And he has 12 hit points per player. So a little on the weaker side, but piercing is kind of an annoying thing. Like, oh, I got a tough attachment. Not anymore.
Dr. Strange. Yep. Dr. Strange giving three tough statuses. Not anymore.
Crossbones
is the
best
card in the game. Vulnerability.
Oh no! My
invulnerability deck. My invulnerability deck. No.
My life is over. That's it. The game's dying.
Oh man.
Your prediction, not bold but probably true. His stage two, his stats are going to be 1 and 2. That's my prediction.
Mm-hmm. You think it's going to be anything else?
That seems likely. I mean,
probably. Maybe 18 hit points per player?
You got to have the same abilities and maybe one more. There we go.
I think it'll put a weapon to play with him.
Yeah.
Like,
my guess is the main scheme is going to search out one of his weapons and put it on him. And then when he flips, he'll probably, or advances, he'll probably get another weapon.
Yep. And they gave us a weapon. Sam, do you want to read the weapon?
Yes, I do. Crossbones machine gun is a unique attachment weapon traded with +0 attack with a Star. Attached to Crossbones uses 2 ammo counters per player. I missed the per player earlier, so that's really cool.
Yeah.
Forced interrupt. When Crossbones attacks you, remove 1 ammo counter from this card and discard the top card of the encounter deck. Take indirect damage equal to the number of boost icons on the discarded card, and there are 3 on this one.
I have a problem with this, that it's unique, because I can clearly see in the art that there's 2.
That's true.
The typo. It should have been machine guns.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
That's why it's 2 per player ammo counters, 1 for one and 1 for the other.
This guy's cool. It's got also 3 boost icons, which...
Oh, yeah, that's
cool. John 2 hands in both of his hands.
I like... There's also no way to get rid of it. You have to suffer the indirect damage.
Yep.
Or just not be attacked, keep him somewhat.
It's good.
I think...
Go ahead, Sam.
What we have to consider is that this is stage 1, not stage 2 or 3. And I think Caleb and Michael have been pretty clear that casual players and players who really play the pre-constructed decks are typically what stage 1 is, or standard is aimed for. So this might seem weak, but we also have to consider that this is only stage 1. Yeah.
And it is the first scenario of the campaign, so I figured that would be the easiest one.
It's the Rhino of the box, basically.
Except probably harder than Rhino.
Crossbones machine gun.
Like the scheme in particular will probably be a lot tougher than Rhino's.
Yeah, and there's only so much we can really say about these villains right now because we only know like 1 or 2 of their cards. So we'll just have to wait and see. But they do look cool. Crossbones playing off that weapon mechanic sounds like it'll be really cool.
Mm-hmm. I love the art too.
Yeah,
the art in this box so far has been amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, and here's to the lore, because based on the comic, it appears he's attacking Project Pegasus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that seems to be the start of the campaign, so there's something in there Hydra wants.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to explain what Project Pegasus is? If it's a thing?
Yeah, it's a thing. I don't know too much about it. Because most of it is from the Iron Man Armored Adventures TV show. That's my main stuff. But it was in the MCU as well. It was the group that was studying the Tesseract in Captain Marvel.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, okay.
That's cool.
Nice. Well, that makes sense why they would want something from there then. That's some high tech.
Yeah.
So the next villain is Absorbing Man. Who wants to read this one? Anybody really want to read this one?
Yeah.
All right, Ben. Okay. Ben, go for it.
Absorbing Man as a villain, he's got one scheme and two attack, and he's a brute trade, but he also gets the trait of each environment in play, and he's got 14 hit points per player, so he has, like, the traits don't do anything themselves, but he'll have other cards that combo off of what traits he has.
And this is going to his deck's going to feature environments that are just going to come out and be in play, and there's no way to get rid of them. Like, for example, Sam, why don't you read one of those environments they spoiled?
Snowy Hillside is an environment with the ice trait. Surge, enforced response. After Absorbing Man makes an undefended attack against you, place one threat on the main scheme, two instead if there are five or more delay counters on the main scheme. I think delay counters we're going to get into later in campaign mode.
Yeah.
And then a boost, put this card into play. Now, I think the best part of this card is Surge, because if you're playing solo and it didn't have Surge, that's kind of a free reveal.
Mm-hmm.
It's not nothing.
It's not actively doing anything until the next turn, so yeah. I like the Surge.
It's fine. I mean, yeah, Surge makes it fine.
I honestly like that you can't get rid of it. I think that's really good. You can't punch a snowy hillside out of there.
Yeah, I'm assuming there are going to be other things in the deck that let you get rid of them. Like, maybe if you defeat him, you can get rid of some environments or something. Maybe.
Yeah, that we can see so far, though, there's no way to get rid of these environments.
Right, there's no way on the card.
On the cards that we see, yeah.
Yeah.
So, and then there was another one that they spoiled. Matt, do you want to read that one? For Absorbing
Sure thing. The Omnimorph Duplication. It's a treachery. When revealed, if Absorbing Man has the ice trait, exhaust your identity. If he has the metal trait, he gains tough and heal one damage from him. If he has the stone trait, he give him one face down boost card. And the wood trait, discard one card at random from your hand and with one boost icon.
Interesting. It doesn't say what to do if there are no traits. So I'm assuming there's always going to be a trait in play, at least one.
You might start the game with one. You never know.
Right.
I imagine the scheme will start with one.
Because it doesn't say if there's none in play, you gain Surge. But yeah, if there's one trait in play, this card doesn't seem that bad. If there are four traits in play, it seems terrible.
And my guess is that the main scheme, on setup or on the when revealed, when you revealed 1B, it's going to say discard cards from the encounter deck until you get an environment, reveal that card, or put that card into play.
Yeah.
You start with one play because it's like thematic for the scenario, maybe. But probably a random one.
Yeah. What do you guys think are the worst ones from here? Because I think the worst ones for me are metal and wood.
I think ice and wood are the worst. Because metal is like, okay, tough. It's like,
Ice can be really bad depending on what hero you are. I mean, because there's
some. She-Hulk.
If you're She-Hulk. Or honestly, if you're Hawkeye too, that sucks. You only get to use one arrow that round. You know?
Or.
She-Hulk.
Yeah. She-Hulk. So it just depends on the hero, I think.
That could be brutal to Spider-Woman because now you're not getting her boost from playing cards. Ice is could pretty brutal. I think the only one I don't really care about is Stone until he schemes. Then I care about it.
That's right.
I've got some lore on Project Pegasus now. I managed to dig some off.
All right,
it's basically Energy Research Group, and they store. They're used to prison for energy based villains, but I think also just because of the Captain Marvel movie, the Tesseract, like the Cosmic Cube as it's known in the comics,
could be a major point in the plot here, which because Red Skull is very associated with the Cosmic Cube.
Oh yeah.
And with Zwerving Man here, because the delay counters makes me think that he's trying to slow us down while they're transporting the stolen whatever it is away from Project Pegasus.
Hmm. I like it. Some potential story things there. So that's Zwerving Man. Then we have another villain, which I guess I'll read this one. It's Zola. Zola is a android and Hydra traded. He has two scheme and one attack, and he has retaliate one and only 12 hit points. Now, that might seem like super weak sauce. I mean, the retaliate one is pretty annoying, but what they said on the stream is that his scenario is going to be all about his minions and the minions that come into play, and he has a lot of upgrades for his minions. So it's going to be very similar to, I guess, like the mutagen formula, where one of the main things is the minion problem that you got to deal with. So Zola's mutate. Let's see. Ben, why don't you read Zola's mutate?
Okay. Zola's mutate's a minion. It's got one scheme, two attack, 5 hit points. It's a Hydra and mutate traded, and when revealed, discard cards from the top of the encounter deck until a tech attachment is discarded. Attach that card to Zola's mutate, and as a boost, shuffle Zola's mutate into the encounter deck.
So you're going to see this guy.
This looks like it's like almost like a mini boss minion to me.
And it's pretty common.
I mean, it's got the shuffle into the encounter deck thing, which
that's a free boost to draw.
Yeah, it's true.
Guess is there will be at least two.
Maybe
three.
Use Thor's,
I think there'll be like four or five, and they'll be differentiated by the attachment they get.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. But, I mean, on its own, it's like not nothing.
But it's not on
points is a lot. So yeah, when it gets attack attachment, it's like,
yeah, we'll have to see.
Presumably going to be pretty scary.
We'll have to see what the tech attachments do, because they could make them like, oh, I got to deal with that.
Makes it guard or retaliate.
What is that Doomsday? What's the Doomsday Chair attachment called?
Oh, let me check.
Oh yeah, is that a tech? Biomechanical upgrades, I think, something like that.
I would imagine.
It is a tech card.
Ooh.
Yeah, so if you're playing with
Zelda and MODOK, and the
then you Doomsday Chair. suddenly have 10 hit points, essentially. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep, Appa pointed that out probably before, way before we were talking about it.
Pretty scary at that point.
I think it's also worth pointing out this was mentioned fourth for Arnim Azula, so he's probably the fourth scenario.
Yeah, probably the fourth. Another kind of side effect of this mutate, if all the mutates have this ability where you discard cards from the top of the encounter deck until, you know, a tech is attached and a tech is discarded, you're going to start going through that encounter deck pretty quickly. You know, you're going to, and Zola's looking like he's going to be more of a schemer, kind of like Claw, because he's got two scheme and only one attack. So he may be one of the ones that you have to, like, watch out, like Claw, where he's just going to try to advance his scheme really fast and win that way instead of just beating you up and have his minions kind of, you have to deal with them.
You have to remember that mutagen formula, right, where you have that minion-based scenario. Goblin stats kind of suck. I mean, he has a 1 and a 2, and then a 2 and a 2, and then I think a 2 and a 3. I'm not sure entirely. My guess is he's going to follow Claw most likely, where it's going to be a 2-1, probably 2-2, and then 3-2 or something. And, like, yeah, the stats aren't the hardest, but the hardest part is the encounter deck punishing you, and that retaliate sucks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Especially if allies attack him.
Yep.
Allies hate retaliate so much.
Yes. So those are the heroes or the villains that we saw and that they spoiled. The other two that they haven't spoiled are Taskmaster and Red Skull. But they did talk about, with Taskmaster being one of the villains, what happens if you're playing Black Widow and your Shadows of the Past comes out, and because Taskmaster is her nemesis. So what happens is they said that You resolve the card as much as you can. So the first sentence says, put your nemesis minion into play, engage with you. The game state checks, sees that Taskmaster is the main villain, so he can't come out as your nemesis. So that just doesn't happen. But the rest of the card can trigger, where you put your side scheme and all the other cards into the encounter deck. So the only
in play.
Yeah, the side scheme in play, all the other cards go into the encounter deck. And then, on top of all that, it has the text at the bottom on Shadows of the Past that says, if your nemesis minion did not interplay this way, this card gains surge. So all that's going to happen, and it's going to surge.
Mm-hmm.
So
most of the time, she's going to grappling hook it away or something. So.
Yeah.
Probably. But I mean, that's still, if you don't, that really sucks. Like, you're getting all but like one little thing of the downside of your Shadows of the Past being revealed, and then the Shadows of the Past surges.
I mean, on the other hand, like, Shadows of the Past kind of surges because it puts two cards in play anyway.
Yeah. So, that's a good point.
Sometimes skipping your nemesis minion for a random encounter card is going to be a good thing.
Other times it'll be Legions of Hydra.
Yeah.
Or Under Fire. And then you're like, oh, okay, well, double surge.
This would be it's good to know that nemesis minions, being a nemesis minion doesn't stop you from getting a scenario.
Yeah.
Which is great. Yeah, because that means any nemesis I print, we can still get a scenario of it.
Yeah,
we can still get that vulture scenario we all want.
Yeah, man.
Or Edison. Scenario.
Thomas Edison.
I love a
bird.
Oh my god. We need that Titania scenario. Oh man.
It's just going to be a boxing match.
Yeah, Titania box.
Yeah.
You see the boxing gloves in this game?
Oh gosh, this is fantastic.
So narrative-wise, I think Taskmaster is probably defending the Hydra base, and then you break in and you face off against Zola, who's experimenting with whatever was stolen.
Mm-hmm.
The order they said, didn't they say Task? Crossbones. No, I don't remember how they said
it. I think it was Crossbones, Absorbing Man, and I think it was Taskmaster next, then Zola, then yes. Red Skull. Chat, y'all can correct us if y'all remember.
That is correct.
It sounds right.
Yeah, it is right. Sounds cool.
Okay. So, should we talk about campaign mode now? Because I think that's the most excited I am for this box.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, campaign mode. Okay, Sam, well, why don't you take us off, like, start off the discussion?
All right. So, campaign mode has a couple of key things about it. So, right now we know there's going to be a campaign log, which is similar to Arkham, with the illustrated comic book story, which, by the way, is awesome. They put some in the article. There's going to be upgraded cards in between scenarios. The villains can also get upgraded cards in the scenarios. And not only that, but expert campaigns have different rule sets to make it harder, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, so good. It reminded me a lot of, honestly, the Lord of the Rings saga stuff, because you've got the obligations that you can get or the boons you can get, and that you have different effects. Now, I know the different effects based on, like, what happens in the scenario is more of an Arkham thing, but that's so good. I love that there has a narrative aspect to it. Oh, it's going to be great.
There's a little of that in Lord of the Rings. A lot of times, what you do in the scenario determines which boons and burns you get, so...
Yeah, like if you kill the Balrog or not.
Exactly.
Or he's trying to play.
Or if certain cards are in play during the game, or you put them into the deck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think... So, like, one thing I know, especially, I know Carlos complained about this, was that there wasn't really a narrative. Well, now there is. And you can play them standalone. That is great.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm assuming there's going to be campaign reference cards for each scenario that basically tell you, give you the rewards or whatever for how you did in the scenario, and then the campaign log or whatever. But that upgraded cards in between scenarios sounds really interesting. I wonder if it's going to be like aspect cards that you can put into your deck, or if they're just going to be purely story based. Like,
they sound like they're story based because they said you can't use them in any other campaign. they come out with?
They did. I'm wondering if it's
say that, be but
closer yeah. to Arkham then, where it's instead of experience, mm-hmm. you have like whatever. In this, it would be like, well, however many of the. Let's say like the first scenario is like how many. Or one scenario is like how many minions you killed, and you get that many points or something, and then you could spend it on cards in between scenarios. I don't know how that would work, but I don't know.
Even
just got a story.
I don't know, but I'm excited to find out.
Yeah, I'm assuming that they're cards that do not affect your normal deck building, but I don't know exactly what how.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the villain's getting upgrades too. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Adds another layer of challenge to it. And weren't y'all saying that there's like a persistent damage rule that they talked about in the article?
Yeah, that was mentioned in the article.
In expert mode, in normal mode, you heal between each. In expert mode, you do not heal. So all the damage on your hero stays unless you take a certain obligation, which they haven't said what they do.
Oh, it's great. But
you take an obligation. You have all the heal right now.
Quote Apple. What's that?
I mean, reading
oh,
the
yeah,
chat.
Appo. Oh, I want to play it now. Yeah, I know. Right? I know, Appo. We all do. Oh,
my gosh.
Everybody wants it.
Damn. That's. You're gonna get like you're gonna be playing. You're gonna be playing Miss Marvel. Get put the one. All right, starting the next scenario. All right, got one health. Let's see if I can do this.
Hey, first turn recover for 5. Bam.
Still recover.
Now I don't remember. Go ahead, Sam. Go ahead, Sam.
Iron Man, right? Has his up.
Oh no! I know where you're going.
Let's say you took us. You have all your upgrades out. You're at 17 hit points, whatever it is, and you're at 5. Does that mean you start the next scenario with 0 hit points because you lost all those upgrades and you just lose automatically?
I don't know.
I would assume yes initially, but we'll have to wait and see when we get the official rules.
It'd be hilarious.
That would be.
You have to take those obligations, whatever they were talking about.
Yep.
That's so weird. I didn't think of that. Also, they said by default rules in normal mode, if you lose a scenario, you can just replay it. But an expert, if you lose a scenario, you basically lost the campaign.
Yeah, it's
pretty sure.
I think that's it. Yeah, there's no like I lose and keep going like there is an Arkham. You just have to
win. Unless you want to play like you know alternate universe sleazy expert mode.
Yeah, I want. You know. Yeah, and it's important to mention there's 3 modular sets in this box.
Oh yes,
it was in the article.
Yay, more modular sets! Hooray!
There's only 3, but I mean that's still good.
That's great. I mean, Green Goblin had what, 4? This is almost as much as that. 4,
yeah.
Like that's
yeah, that's true actually.
Oh, now we get 5 villains.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
3 modular sets is amazing.
And I'm assuming they're probably all going to be Hydra themed.
I think at least one good hard one will be good.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
and then at least another couple middly ones.
Yeah, another like Legions of Hydra or Doomsday Cherish type scenario would be great. Or yeah, modular set.
Another thing on the level of a mess of things would be really great.
My god, if there was a confusion version of mess of things,
that'd
be hard.
Yeah, it's called Bomb Scare.
It's called Bomb Scare, but that's not it's not hard.
Yeah, no.
You mean confetti party?
Confetti party.
Confetti party.
Oh man. Well guys, anything else before we wrap this up? Any final thoughts?
What? Oh, should we talk about the silhouettes?
Yeah,
we
they're there.
Another time.
I mean, they're there. Go check them out. They're in the article. They gave little silhouette hints. They were going to get 1 scenario pack and then 4 hero packs. So similar to what we got before, except we're. I think it is the exact same thing as what we got before. You know, we got a. Because we got Green Goblin, and then 2 heroes, then another scenario. Mm-hmm. So it's more akin to what we're getting with Wrecking Crew, with where we got Wrecking Crew and then 4. We're getting Wrecking Crew, then 4 hero packs. So
it looks like this wave will be 6 scenarios, 5 from the box and 1 in August, and then 6 heroes, 2 from the box and 4, and 4 over 4 months,
mm-hmm.
which evens out. It's just how they're spread out, I think, is the weird part.
Yeah. Well, awesome.
Yeah.
Well, this is going to be great. We're all so excited. I know we can't wait to get our hands on this. They said about quarter three, 2020, depending on how this whole COVID-19 thing shakes out. But hopefully we can get it sooner rather than later, guys. It's going to be so much fun. Sam, why don't you take us home?
Onwards and upwards.